Thank you, Rhonda. First of all, let me just acknowledge the rest of our group over here. Bishop Mitchell and Marshall and Pastor Marshall and Pastor Randy. Everybody knows Marshall. And what you don't know is Lonnie Parton is we've been connected with Council Bluffs as well. But my name is James Patterson, and whenever Rhonda and Dr. West Adams came up and shared, we have been involved in city transformation for a while. I mean, city reaching. We have been doing marches for Jesus. We look for opportunities to connect. We desired for our city for the kingdom of God to be manifest in our city. But we kept having these rises and falls and rises and falls and rises and falls. I had heard part of the message before about repentance. And whenever she came and this time and shared, there was a holy whimper in the room with regard to God just gripped our hearts and felt like he just grabbed a hold of our hearts and says, are you going to respond? And some of the pastors wasn't there. Some of us was there. And I went back and contacted some of these other brothers and says, and I'd asked her, I said, would you come and share? I mean, with some other pastors of color who I couldn't get to come to the meeting. And so she agreed to. And the enemy did not want that to happen. And almost every one of those initial pastors, I wanted to go reach for the unconvinced. I knew there were some brothers who already loved the Lord, didn't need any prepping in that regard, who was open to what God wanted to do. And that was these guys here. But so I reached for those who wasn't convinced, and I wanted them to hear because I knew that God would deal with their hearts. And when I did, every one of them, for one reason or another, could not make it. And one of them ended up in the hospital and called me. He says, Pastor Patterson said, I apologize. I can't make the meeting tomorrow. I've had a heart attack, and I'm in the hospital. Okay? And it was his church we was meeting at. And so this was the spiritual warfare of trying to get on the road. So then I went and contacted these guys, and we came together, and we heard that, and God began to grip our heart. And then we began to say, we asked ourselves the question, we say, is this God speaking to us? Is this God speaking to us? If this is in fact God, he requires something of us. If this is God, then we need to respond. Or is this just another one of those times whenever, you know, those nice messages you hear, oh, yep, that was nice, and you walk away. But we sensed that no, this was the Lord speaking to us, and it demanded us. We felt like we needed to do something. So we had this meeting that week, and we met again in a few days at one of the pastors, maybe a week. I'm horrible with exact times, and met at a pastor's church to process it a little bit farther and just to contemplate. And then we says, okay, that was a strong message of repentance. And it was about us, you know, getting right with God and seeking God for our city. But if we're going to deal with repentance, we looked around in the room and some of the pastors said, well, if we're going to deal with repentance, we need to get started here because we got some issues among ourselves. And so without any really strategic planning, the Lord was just leading us step by step because what we wanted to, if it was really God speaking, we wanted to respond to God. But before we could get going, we had to acknowledge what God has said to us. And so we began to, we spent a couple hours, at least 2 hours or more, and just taking our time, going around the room and repenting to each other, apologizing to each other. And some cases, it was people had brought us stories about the other one. And we didn't ever talk to them and to fetter it out and find out whether it was true, but it became an issue. And so
that was our corporate repentance. Mm-hmm. First, we had to do it individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, this is what happened at, this was among us. This was around the table at the church, the second meeting that we had. And we confessed to each other around the table and just took our time there. And we acknowledged that, dealt with those issues. And sometime, and it was risky because you're bearing your soul. Okay, beforehand, long as it was secret, it was secret. You wasn't any more vulnerable. You might have been hurt, but you wasn't any more vulnerable. But once you decided to open up and bear it, there was a risk. But then we wanted to establish a safe place. We said, what goes on in here stays in here. And so we made that kind of commitment to each other. And then we began to just pour our hearts out there in that particular room, one, and then another, and then another, and respond to the Lord. You want to add?
I just kind of wanted to share maybe a little different aspect, because I think one of the things that we have to realize is that God has a plan and a purpose for us before we know it, and He unfolds it. And one of the things that we have to recognize is that we've just got to trust God and know that it's not us, and that only God could bring it to pass. I'm saying that to say this because God has strategically put us where we at. And you've heard this, I might be preaching to the choir, and you're not there by happenstance. But one of the things that we had to come to the realization was, because I've been pastoring for 13 years, and I'm from Detroit, and we planted the church there in Omaha, and I knew the vision that God had given me. I knew it, but I did not recognize that the vision He has given me was connected to His vision and connected to His vision, and that God is not just concerned about Spirit and Truth Gospel Church. He's concerned about Omaha, because Omaha, or where you at, connects it to the next city, then the nation. So that was one of the things I had to realize, because God, I know You gave me this plan, and I got this plan, and we moved to Omaha. We loaded up the truck and we moved to Omaha, and here we are with this vision and this plan, and we're going for it. We opened a soup kitchen. We had transitional housing. We're going to fix it, honey. We're going to fix this thing, because none of these other preachers know what they're doing. But I heard from God. So in the midst of us doing our thing, we got weary. Why? Because there was no results. So I spent thousands of our congregation dollars on outreach and church growth and how to win the community 7 different ways. And none of it worked. And I got mad because I said that God ain't in Omaha. And he had to shut down something. And I was actually angry with God, because I said, God, You called me here, and I know You called me here. Why isn't this thing working? It's not working, boy. Because not only did I call you to Omaha, but I routed James from the East Coast to Omaha. And I routed this man back from Texas to Omaha. And you can't do what I want you to do until you get connected. So if you love me and you want to win this city, then you got to lay it down. Lay down what? Lay down your theology. Lay down your tradition. Lay down your denomination. Strip yourself. Humble yourself. Exalt your brothers. Esteem them higher than yourself. Well, Lord, you're asking an awful lot. So here we are in this meeting, all of us mad. Because we've been trying to reach the city. We love the city. Well, we commissioned to the city. We found out later that we really didn't even love the city. And God said, how can you pray for something? How can you birth something? How can something, and you don't even love where you at? So God had to work on us to love the city and to feel the pain of the city and to understand that what was going on in Omaha, Rhonda said it this morning, was a direct reflection on our state, the state of the church. And that's a hard revelation when drive-bys, abortions, unemployment, poverty, hopelessness is directly tied to you. So God said, we're going to do this thing the way I created it. And one of our one of the scriptures we use is James' favorite scripture, Psalms 133, to brethren to dwell in the unity. Not just come to my prayer meeting, not just come to my anniversary, but to live together. So for the last 18 months, we have practically lived together. Amen. We've lived together. We live together. We've been in each other. We actually been into each other's houses and took our shoes off. We've shared intimate things with each other. Now, all of that deals with transformation, but this is the foundation. God was laying the foundation. And this thing is so scary because we like to have it all mapped out. You know, before I got here, I got on MapQuest.com. I know how to get back to the hotel. I know how to get to Gates Barbecue. I know because I got it all mapped out. But with this thing, nobody has the answer but God. Nobody knows how to get there but God. Because the only one that can do the work is God. So we've submitted. We have not apprehended. We have not did anything. We've only done what the grace of God has allowed us to do. We have nothing to brag on. We have nothing to be proud of. There's still stuff going on in our city. But we know that we're on the road. So I want to admonish you, if it's just two of you, and the two of you believe, go for it. Stop window shopping. We've been window shopping long enough. Let's buy. If not now, when? If not us, who?
Praise the Lord. Let me see if I can intertwine my little bit in here. Amen. How many of y'all in here really want to see God take your city? Amen. I see the hands. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. What we all had the mentality that it was a one-man show. But we found out that we needed to be connected with one another. And that God got to first deal with you. you, get you in order. We went through repentance. When I heard Rhonda speak, I knew that I didn't have the right process. We didn't have the right process because what we're doing, it was a process that we had to go through. And I heard Rhonda speak, and it just pricked my heart like a dagger. And I went back home, and I started repenting to my wife. Man, I just poured out my heart to her. But I'm not going to go through all that because she just wants the onslaught of how we got on the road, because I'm not going to go back down when the Fiji team came and all that, because I hid something from my wife. But that's neither here to fore. But we all had the mentality that we wanted. And I remember when we fell in love with Omaha at your church. Everybody was crying. You remember that? Everybody was crying at the church because God just pricked our hearts from Omaha. We fell in love with Omaha. You got to fall in love with your city. You got to want to see your city change. And when you get that burden in you, you'll do what it takes to get you on the road. And to get us on the road, we had to go through the process of repenting one toward another. As Tyrone was saying, we repented one toward another. I had issues against him. I was telling him about it on the way up here. And I had issues against Marshall. And I ain't had no issue. I don't think I'd against James here. But, you know, we all had issues, you know, regardless, you know, somebody done said something, you know how you get something in your spirit, you know. So we had to go through all that and get all that junk out, because what we're doing here now is we're preparing God a habitation where God can come and dwell in us and do what he has to do in the city. We have the work to do because we are the ones that have the authority and the power in the city. And God got to use you to do what need to be done in the city. We are praying. We pray on Monday nights. We pray on Wednesdays. We pray on Thursday mornings. And we pray Friday. And we fast. I think in 5 months we fasted 42 days. That was the divine experiment. We went through that twice, 21 days. Of fasting and praying. God is getting us in shape. He got to get us in shape to do what has to be done in the city. And since we have been doing what we do, crack houses have been shut down. Prostitutes coming off the streets into your church, falling down on their knees and crying out and receiving God and speaking in tongues right there. Ain't nobody laid hands on them. The gangs. What about them? Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that. The MS-13 gang, one of the most notorious gangs, come out of Mexico, have settled in Omaha, but they done shut down. The last I heard was it's about 15 houses. They done shut down. God, but there's more to come. Arrested. God is doing this. God is doing this. And miracles happening in the churches. Debt cancellations. Marsha, you ought to come too. Debt cancellations been going on. Supernatural debt cancellations. Miracles happening. Healings happening in the house of God. More people coming and added to the churches, you know, in North Omaha. All because that he found some people that he can use and work through. And this is what it's going to take. In your city, some folk that want to get together and bring God on the scene. Amen. You want to share about that?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. I'll just tell just a little bit because there is fruit. With the repentance, and that's been a hallmark. I just want to read back up a little bit. One of the things, in fact, every 3 or 4 months, we have a repenting service in our meetings. And we go back because you can get familiar with one another and overstep your boundaries sometimes and don't even realize it. And sometimes you know, but you kind of keep going. And so we've learned in the process that repentance is an ongoing thing to one another, even in our churches and so forth. And so the last repenting party we had, I think we ran out of tissue. Everybody was crying and everybody was. And bishops and apostles and pastors and just crying. I mean, real tears. And so that's been a real stable. And I believe that's one of the reasons we've been hanging in for 18 months, because we've kept that as a primary foundation to what God has called us into. But let me just quickly talk a little bit about some of the fruit. He talked about debt cancellation. The first Sunday after we heard the message in April, I was out of town a few weeks. So when I got back to our church in June, I thought, man, I'm going to lead our church in repentance. And I'm just going to ask the whole church, stand with me. And I prayed a prayer of repentance. I did it three times over that summer. The first time I led our church, the first time we had a healing service, people went back to their doctors, and the doctors sent them back home. You don't have to take this medication anymore. That condition is gone. People were healed. That's the first one. The second one, we had, I think it was the second one, we were in debt because we went through a transition, and we were way behind on our payments and thousands of dollars. And after repentance, we received our morning offering, and my administrator was whispering, "Pastor, Pastor, I'm trying to take, you know, when we take the offering, you got to be serious and, like, give us your money, you know, anyway." But I was doing that, and she was like, "Pastor." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "They just canceled the debt." And we had supernatural debt cancellations of a few thousand dollars that were supernaturally canceled. The third time we led our church in repentance, we received one of the biggest offering we had received in about 3 years in our church. And since then, we have had such a presence in our church. If Christina was here, she came by one Sunday to make an announcement. And we have had such a presence in our church that it is, I want to say unbelievable, but it's believable. People are getting healed, fibroid tumors, 70% blockages on the heart, no cartilage in the ankle. People are getting healed. People are getting saved. And we're just believing that as we keep pressing in, that people are going to be standing outside to get in the church because God is back in his house. And it's the presence that's doing it. And so we've been preparing the way for the presence of the Lord to come, because when his presence comes, we know his presence will confront the darkness. Bishop, why don't you come in and share just a little bit? But there's some wonderful, exciting things going on in Omaha, Nebraska.
Praise the Lord, church. The Lord is awesome. Now, I'm just following instructions now. I was told if I had something to say, to come down and say it. So I do have something to say. I love these brotherings. I enjoy being with them. The Lord is doing a wonderful thing in our midst. You know, I feel like that, I feel like they're all my sons, really. If you know what I know, I could be all of his father. Amen. Oh, praise God. All right. Sorry. But I do want to say this, that I don't have the gift of communications like these brethren do. I love to hear them talk. They can talk to me anytime. Praise the Lord. And I enjoy them. But I do want to say this as one thing that God, the Lord has done. He has brought forth a bondage among us. He's bound us together. And it was because, as has been forespoken, there was an initiation that you rarely see. Coming together in humility and in repentance and acknowledging our differences toward one another. We did. We come together not once, but many times. We've come together in prayer, and there was crying and weeping. They had to put a box of tissue in the middle of the floor to dry the tears and clean the nose because of the genuine repentance toward one another. You know, asking each other, have I offended you? If I have, forgive me. You know, and we open up to each other. And by this, God has caused a bonding, abounding among us that is permanent. And I was telling Pastor, amen, Pastor Charleston, I said, I'm coming down here mainly because I want to be with you, Brother Ring. I love to travel with him, you know that. We have fun together. This old man with these young men, we still have fun together. And I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying the trip. And above all, it's what God has been doing from the transformation and from the time we had the CellNet retreat there in Council Bluffs almost two years ago now. And the foundation scripture that we heard, which put us together, is at 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all identified to it that if my people that are called by my name, that if they would humble themselves, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. He said, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And all the messages that we've been hearing, we're talking about how the land is affected by us, by our obedience or our disobedience. And we know that we have a job to do. God is calling for holiness and righteousness, for uprightness of spirit, soul, and body. And we know it's up to us today. God said, let your light so shine. And this is not a religion. It is a way of life. It's a way of life. He wants us totally, not just once a week in a prayer service and to clap our hands and sing some songs and then go back and do our same old thing that we've been doing now through the years. He's calling for a transition in us. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature, a new creation, a new person. Old things pass away, and all things become new. As I say in my jail ministry, I teach to a lot of men who are there from alcoholism, from drug addiction, and I say, you cannot drink a gallon of liquor and not get drunk. Has anybody ever tried to do that? I ain't seen a man yet could drink that much liquor and not get drunk. So what am I saying? Therefore, neither can you internalize God's word and not become transformed. It is impossible to internalize God's word and not become transformed. You are not going to remain the same. That's what I love about him. He would change your owner. He would change your desires because you are a new creature. So we thank God for what he's doing. I'm enjoying the Lord. I enjoy these brotherings. Amen. And I say there's a bondage, and I believe that we said that we were not going to use our churches to promote our churches from our associations. But we don't have to, because I know they will look after me. If I have a need, they're there for me. Absolutely. Amen. And vice versa. And the whole group is the same way. I know if I leave town, if I want somebody to preach for me, I can go to either one of them and get somebody to come to my church and take over while I'm gone. So that's what I'm enjoying. I know this is permanent. Praise God.
I believe that we're in the midst of one of the greatest move of the manifestation of the glory of God. I believe that. And when we come to church, we don't come to church just to see our neighbor. We come to church to see the glory of God and the power of God in manifestation. There was a lady, one of the fruits of transformation, a lady came in my church one Sunday morning after repentance and the powerful praise that we were having. And she sat in the church and had a stroke in the church. Her mouth was twisted, speech impediment. She couldn't speak, was slurred. And she walked with a limp because her right leg was stiffening up on her. And my wife noticed it and called her up front. And when she came up front, my wife began to pray for her. And you could, her mouth was twisted like that. And when she was praying for her mouth, literally you could see it. Everybody saw it. It began to come back in line. And her speech became clear. And her limp stopped. And she was perfectly healed right there on the spot. Tore the church up. Because they saw the glory of God in operation. Amen. This is what God is doing. And this is what God wants to do in your church and in your city. Amen. And we exchange pulpits too. We forgot to mention that. I preach at Tyrone's church. I haven't preached at Lonnie's church yet, but he's going to get me though. In Marsha's church, we exchange pulpits. So the people can't church hop no more. They stay where they are because they go hear him anyway and hear him. So they don't. They say, where can we go?
I just wanted to also add to what's been shared. We created some values, and we created some values to walk by. And one of the values was that we would not exploit each other. We didn't join together to get to take something from each other. But we came together because we felt like God called us to the city, and we mutually committed ourselves to each other. And not only that, then we also love each other. Okay, we made a commitment. We acknowledge that all of our giftings are different, but we need what everybody has. And so we created an environment that everybody can share, and we don't prefer one above the other. But we tried to create that ground because God didn't do us like that. So we need to create that kind of community. And so we created a value system of core values. And one of our core values was that the Lord told us he didn't want us running ahead of him and creating our own thing and then inviting him to come along and bless it. And his words were, like so many of my other children, he said, but I want you to wait until you hear from it, and then go along. And that's what we've been doing. And so as a result, we haven't really known where we was going. It's been a journey. And tell you this also, Fusion has been a tremendous blessing to us because we had never done any of this process before. It was totally new. But we also had to trust Fusion in the process. Trust Fusion to share and to impart with us because we hadn't gone through this process. And we still haven't been to Fiji, but we hear some awesome stories. We are connected and how God showed up. And all of us have been in ministry for a number of years. None of us is novice about this. But truthfully speaking, none of us have seen transformation. So we need to humble ourselves. It didn't matter how many years you've been. Didn't matter what your church was. It didn't matter what. No, we have not seen transformation. So we needed to humble ourselves and let somebody direct us in this process.
Comment on the divine experiment. As long as we're going to touch on it more yesterday, but especially some of the fruit of that. You know what? In the time of consecration, how when you consecrated yourselves to the Lord, how did the Lord respond? How long did it take? What did He do?
It actually had started right away. It started in our preparation for it. The divine experiment, I guess, was the thrust that propelled us because we were asking the Lord to show us because we had looked at Revelation chapter 3. We didn't notice. We were wretched. We were miserable. We were all those other things that the Lord called us, and we didn't even know it. So during the divine experiment, we said, Lord, show us. And we were willing to separate ourselves from the status quo. And we got all of our congregations. This made it so much easier. It was so much fun because we got all our congregations to come together to fast. And to fast from TV and the internet and cell phones and shopping, and to take your money that you would spend at Happy Dragon, that's where we had lunch at Happy Dragon, and sow that into the ministry or just sow it into one of the outreaches in the city. To take that time for family time, for reading the Bible together as a family, for praying together, for going into the nursing homes and all of that time, and to shut the TV off and allow the Lord to speak to us. So even as we were preparing and going through some of the things, the people were beginning to be blessed, and the Lord had moved.
We started seeing healings right away. Within there was a lady in my church who had arthritis in her hands and a rheumatoid arthritis, and matter of fact, her sister passed away with it, with her hands so deformed that she couldn't use them, and so on and so forth. But and she was being awakened in the middle of the night with pains throbbing through her hands, and when it would happen, she couldn't hold a pencil. And her knees was bothering, and she had a root canal done about 4 months earlier. It was still having pain. On the fifth day of the divine experiment, everything just went away. Nobody laid hands on anybody. Nobody called a special prayer meeting. On the fifth day of just pressing in, have laid everything aside. God, I'm making these sacrifices to you. I'm making myself available. We're just pressing in. On the fifth day, things just cleared up. Just cleared up. It was a work of the Lord.
Amen. I lost 32 pounds. No, God did begin to move right away, you know, in our churches. Household salvations, what he started with us. One member in my church, her whole family got saved. Yeah. And another member invited us over to her house to pray for her family. And my wife and I went over there, and we expected, two or three people to be there. You know, when we walked in there, the place was full of her family. And we said, oh, God, what we got ourselves into here? And we began to minister to them. And those folk got saved. Some needed jobs. We prayed for them. They got jobs. And they start coming to church, and one of them is a truck driver, and he sends his tithe, and I mean, he just, you know, it's just phenomenal what God is doing. And guess what else God is doing? He's sending more white folks to my church.
It's gonna be all right, brother. It's gonna be all right. One of the pastors couldn't be here, Pastor Alvin Mitchell. But during the first divine experiment, he had one lady in his church that for at least the last 10 years was diagnosed with AIDS and went to the doctor during that time of the divine experiment and was totally healed of AIDS. She had it for 18 years, totally healed. We had another family in his church. The son and daughter-in-law lived in another state. They were crack addicts, and the woman was pregnant. And because they knew we were on the divine experiment, asked them to pray. The baby was born inside the placenta, and Vittenhead was not a crack baby. I mean, the baby was wrapped in the placenta when it was born and totally crack-free. That is a miracle. Just so many things happened. The thing that started happening in our congregation, people started getting more of a kingdom mentality. They began to, just their lifestyle, so many people's lifestyles began to shift, that some even to this day are still maintaining that lifestyle change from what we started in January, a greater commitment to the things of God. And these are the people that you'll see at the 6 o'clock prayer. You'll see them at Monday night prayer. You'll see them at all of our corporate gatherings because of the commitments that they made in January and the shift that took place in their lives as it related to the kingdom of God and just getting away from doing all this busy stuff the fillers, because church is so good at fillers. But allowing a real encounter with the Spirit of the living God. And so it has been powerful what God has done. And we're just so, I see that hand, sir. Hold on. But it's just been powerful what has happened. I think the greatest things that are happening, even now, the city, across our city, is starting to be affected. There are groups in our city, all over the city, that have heard about just a few things that we've done as a group. That really, frankly, is really kind of overwhelming. But the city is beginning to take note of what God has brought us into. And just for a statistic, we just heard a few weeks ago in our local news, a couple of our local news stations announced that over the past year, crime has gone down in our city 2%. And so I believe transformation is working. We ain't seen all of it yet. But it's a lot of things that God is doing, and the best is yet to come.
Amen.
You know, the deal is, the chief said before he left, he said, and Rhonda Reed brought it to our remembrance, the fuse is lit there in Omaha, but we haven't had that explosion yet. Amen. Now, the divine experiment means exactly what it says. It's a divine experiment. You shut down everything. And not having church as usual. We even changed some agendas in our own church just to see. We're doing is, listen, the divine experiment. Let me see if this will work. I dare you to try it. You shut down everything and just focus on God. I dare you to try it. For 21 days, you will not be the same. I dare you. I double dog dare you.